شويه بلاستيك تريس ان شاء الله. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، ومن السماوات من الارض وما بينهما ومن ما شئت ومن شيء بعد. الحمد لله رب العالمين، سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم، سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا اله الا الله والله اكبر. Well, I thank you brothers and sisters for coming here today, and I hope that inshallah by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we may benefit from this second conference of ours, and that we may inspire at least one soul to maybe better to better ourselves and to better you inshallah. We take a journey to the other side of the tracks. If you don't got iman, you may never come back. For your assurance, these stories aren't fiction but fact. Hard times never forgotten, 100% intact. Question: what lies in the depths of a man, clouded, surrounded by darkness, the devil's number one fan? Answer: complex corruption down to the roots, the garden of the soul dry, desolate, no nourishment for fruits, no room for a mop and a broom to sweep and wash away all the evil consumed. Night after night, the fight of terror and fright, begging my dear Lord to set things right. But did I deserve to be helped? I was but distracted with the want of wealth, not concerned with my health. Walk with me, trying to call upon my Lord with a full stomach of that which is forbidden. Not only that, all that around me influences keep my true thoughts hidden. Following followers and follow followers. Now, from my previous conference, I was thinking about more exaggerating and more emphasizing on how I came to Islam and what was my practice prior to Islam. And well, as I said last time, I was a Roman Catholic, and from junior kindergarten up until grade 9, up until grade 8 before high school, I was in Catholic school. And when I think back to it, it wasn't really of significance to me in regards to my religion. I didn't really get deep into it. I mean, when you're in Catholic school, I mean, the Roman Catholic Church is known to be a very, very wealthy church, and they have a lot of money. And so we had the best school trips. I mean, every year we put on the most greatest plays, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. You know, there was school dances, and there was Banam Day. There was so many different things. I mean, and I went to Columbus Boys Camp, Columbus Catholic Boys Camp. And it was all when I think back to it, it was very fun, yes. But it didn't make me understand my religion. It but gave me a distraction from that which was skillfully lurking closer as I got older. Now, when I got to a certain age, I mean, after grade 8, I pretty much just went away from my religion. I was no longer in Catholic school, I was in public school, and I was therefore surrounded by evil. I mean, like, if there's any students in high school right now, they know what I'm talking about, the evils which go on in high school. There's many dramas and many, just the whole environment is not healthy for a person whose soul is in a state of agony. Someone who needs guidance, somebody who needs to find the truth. And after high school, when I got to high school, I find myself changing drastically, because this was around just when I hit puberty, and when you know when a human being hits puberty, his or her body is changing drastically, and new thoughts are coming into their head, and they're looking who to follow and who's the coolest and who's who. And I never really thought about religion to an extent. I just basically followed the crowd. I listened to this music, I dressed like this, listen to this music, dressed like this, hang out with these people who did this and this and that, right? To sum it up easy, right? I never really looked into depth of my creator. I mean, I was taught when I was young that there was a God, but I never really looked into it to an extent where I would come to an understanding. until the later years of high school that when I started to get a little bit of maturity and I started to use my intellect that I really started to ponder on different things. I mean, when I look back to my days of Catholic school, I mean, we were taught, we had Bible time in class, it was time when we taught the Bible, and we had a church beside our school, and I would go in church and I would pray, and I never knew the significance of my prayer. I never knew what I was praying for or who I was praying to. I never understood it. I just did it. It was just what everybody else was doing, what I was taught to do. But there was no real understanding to any extent. There was no explanation. Which if someone were to come to me and ask me about my faith, I would not be able to explain it to them. In school, basically, to sum it up, I was basically taught that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, which is supposed to be perfect in his magnificence, could be represented by something in the physical. Meaning anything of this world I was taught that God could have a representation in the physical. Meaning that there was something which was an object, which was not meant to be God, but could be represented by Him. Like it could, when I looked at that figure, it reminded me of God. And I didn't really understand this. How if God is perfect, how can something created which has a beginning and an end represent the one which has no beginning and no end, who is eternal? I remember there was statues of saints, statues of Jesus, there was crosses, and other associated figures, anything in which they chose to do. I mean, but when you think about it on a logical term, on a rational basis, Allah can only be known through the knowledge which He has taught to the sons and daughters of Adam. Literally, like, this is the only representation of Allah on earth, because everything which we see is a manifestation of His creation, which has a beginning and an end, which is not in comparison to the attributes. It's not a comparison to Allah, because these are not attributes which He holds. This cannot be compared to Allah, nor can it even begin to stand beside Him. Allah, we can't comprehend the creator of the heavens and earth. Now, Allah, Lord of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, and I'm sure most of you have heard of him, but if you haven't, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, Abraham, the prophet, the father of our faith, the father of Christianity, and the father of Judaism. Now, the story of him was very significant to the fact of me reverting back to Islam and becoming a Muslim. Ibrahim, alayhi salam, he was a very young boy at the time, and he was surrounded by people amongst him who were constantly in worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Wahid, Al-Hamid, the unique, the praiseworthy. Ibrahim, one day, he went to the center of the village in which he was inhabited, and all the people, in the middle of the town, all the people, this is where they put their gods, and this is where they came to worship. But today was a special day and they weren't there. And Ibrahim, alayhi salam, he believed in the one creator. He believed that God cannot have a physical being. God is unseen. God cannot be confined into a space. Such a statue. And what he did is he destroyed all of these statues in the name of Allah. Except for one, which was the biggest one. The biggest God of all. Or so-called God. And what happened is when these people came back to town, they had seen what happened. And they came to Ibrahim alayhi salam and said, "What happened? What happened to our gods? Who broke these gods?" Ibrahim alayhi salam looked at them and said, "Why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask that big guy over there?" He said, "Ibrahim, oh come on Ibrahim, you know these gods can't talk." And this story is very, very unique, and it describes the tawheed of Allah and how Allah cannot be attributed into a physical thing. Because these things were created and they were destroyed, and they couldn't even help themselves. Now, when I was in Catholic school, I remember vividly going into church, going on my knees and praying to a statue of Mary. And why I'm saying this is because this, the father of my faith, supposedly, was in opposition to that which was put into practice in my life. I used to go to church and I prayed a statue. When I thought of God, I thought of statues of Jesus on the cross. I thought of statues of Mary, the saints, and my mind was limited to God. I can perceive Him. I say, this is God. This is what God is like, and this is what I thought. But the father of my faith was in opposition to that, and this was in contradiction to that which I was taught. So when I got to a certain age, I mean, when I reached high school, I was living with my mother. But I was living with my mother, but in the latter years of high school, I moved with my father. And my father, he's Christian, but he has Buddhist beliefs, so I was taught to meditate, and he taught me about God and to believe in God. And even though I was very so much in disobedience to everything which I was taught, I still had a little bit of faith in me, and I believed in a creator. So when I started pondering on these such things and reminiscing back to my days of Catholicism, I begin to ask myself many, many questions which really, really would have brought me into an understanding, would have brought me to a conclusion, and I would have really understood my faith. But when the questions were brought towards people who supposedly had knowledge, I basically got the rap, the runaround. They beat around the bush. They wouldn't really give me a direct answer, and it led me to confusion. I mean, I would pray at night, but who am I praying to? I don't know. I just prayed, and I was just going with the flow. And another thing I didn't understand was the fact that, I mean, Allah says in the Quran, he talks about it many, many times as Yawm al-Qiyamah, which is the day of judgment. The day in which the rest of man will be revealed, and that which we did in this world, knowingly or unknowingly, in secret or in public, will be revealed to you, will be brought back to you, and you will be held accountable for it. And on this day, every man, every woman will be worrying about themselves. But when I wanted to repent, what I had to do was go to church and say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And these are my sins. And I will confess the dirt of my soul to a man who on this day of calamity, on this day of resurrection, would have to worry about himself. He would be worried about himself. How can he help me? Well, he would have to worry about himself. And this is one of many things which came to my mind, and I began to ask questions. But every time I would not get a straight answer. And I never really pondered on life. I just went on with this, what people were doing. I got caught up in the whole hip-hop industry and the want for wealth and the want for material things. And I was blatantly distracted from that which was ahead of me. And my garden of my soul became dry and desolate. There was no nourishment. There was the seed which had been planted on me from the day of birth was not being fed. There was nothing to feed it. I don't know what to feed it with. Talking about years of wandering in the dark, searching for contentment in my soul. Instead of filling my heart with purity, I started at the point of extinction. Now, I don't know if any of you heard this term rock bottom, and it's used in many, many different places. Rock bottom, I mean, like, this is the, to me, rock bottom was the point when I just lost everything. Everything in my, I was in an utter loss. I had no, there was no nor, there was no light in my life. I was just a follower. And to extent, every human being is a follower, but it depends on what you're following. And subhanAllah, it's just a life of lying, cheating, stealing, cursing. You're a lifeless entity, a walking grave. And many ask, and many don't know, what is it like on the other side? It's dark, it's cold, everything is foggy, nothing stands clear to you. And even though you know yourself what you're doing is wrong, you don't care, because your heart is so diseased, you begin to lose emotion for yourself. You begin to lose the natural state which has been given to you in birth. You filled yourself up and you can't. There's no turning back unless Allah guides you. And you know it's wrong and you just keep doing it anyways, regardless. Transgressing the bounds. You go beyond that which Allah does not like. You just keep going towards destruction. And you don't care. And this is what it's like on the other side. And all you really, when you wake up in the morning, in your heart, your desire is worldly things, and that's all you really want to achieve throughout the day. You don't go throughout the day thinking like revolving your day around your prayers, and you say, okay, today I'm gonna do this for Allah or do this for my Creator. You don't think like this. You're just the whole game. How am I gonna get money? What am I gonna do today? Who can I meet? This is all you think about. This is the misguided soul. And I think Allah is the best at describing it. He says in Surah Al Imran, ayat number 14, fairer in the eyes of men is the love of things they covet, women and sons, heated up hordes of gold and silver, horse brand. Alright? For the love of it, for blood and excellence, and the wealth of cattle, and the well-tilled land. Such are the possessions of this world's life. But in nearness to Allah is the best of goals to return to. Allah, He describes it perfectly. I mean, everything in which we strive for in life will eventually have an end, because this is an attribute, a characteristic of all that was in this world. Nothing in this world will last. Nothing. So everything is of impermanence. And this is what you seek in the worldly life without guidance. You don't think about death. Death is not something you think about. You don't ponder on death and think, I might die today. What if I were to die today? What would happen? You don't think like that. You just see before you, and that's as far as your perception goes. You don't try to see around it. You don't like put it this way. Like, when an average human being who has no, say a bus. An average human being doesn't have knowledge of a bus. When he looks at a bus, what does he see? He sees wheels turning, and he just sees the body of it. But the person who really knows the bus will know that that bus consists of mechanical parts which work coherently, perfectly, to make that bus work. And if one part of that bus is not working, then the whole machine will begin to break down. And the person who knows the bus, he will not just look at that bus and see the outer layer. He knows what's inside of it. And this is the perception of the person without guidance. He just sees everything, and that's his only perception. He doesn't try to look past that. He doesn't try to ponder on life and ponder on that which he's been put on earth for. He doesn't think about his purpose in life. I remember when I was in high school, I asked my religion teacher, Miss, what's the purpose in life? She couldn't answer. Of course not, because they don't think about this kind of stuff. Because they're all about the worldly gain, getting their paycheck, going home to their family, and doing this and doing that, having a good time. No time for the Lord. You never, in misguidance, you don't think about your blessings which have been bestowed upon you. Such as like the creation of the heavens and the earth, is it not magnificent? Is not the sunrise magnificent? And Allah says, a sign for them is the earth which is dead. Do we give a life and produce grain therefrom, of which do you eat? And we produce therein orchards of date palms and vines. And we cause springs to gush forth therein, that thou may enjoy the fruits of this artistry. It was not their hands which made this. Will not then they give thanks? I mean, when I read this ayah, this is from Surah Yasin. Yeah, this is from Surah Yasin, verses 33 and 34. When you look at a tree, is a tree not a sign of death? When it becomes cold in wintertime, comes, what happens to the tree? It dies, it loses the breath, and all the leaves fall off, and it's dead. There's no life to it, it looks dead. But what happens when, by Allah's mercy, when it becomes warm again, and it rains, that tree begins to flourish again. So compare this to the soul, compare this to the human body. Allah says that on the day of judgment, He will resurrect you as if you had never left, you know? He will resurrect you back intact, the way you used to walk this dunya. So if Allah can make a tree come back to life, who's to say He can't make you come back to life? SubhanAllah. And this is one major thing which you don't ponder on. You don't think about how many things you should be giving thanks for. I mean, like I just thought about this recently. Like, look at the tongue, the human tongue. We use it to talk and to pronounce different words, but think about the tongue itself. If I were to line up 100 different fruits, will not each fruit taste differently to you? Each fruit will taste differently. A Is your tongue not a miracle? And your eyes, how they perceive color and texture and shape. This is amazing. We cannot thank Allah for this. But this is the soul without guidance. He doesn't ponder on this kind of things. He thinks about the worldly things. What he sees on TV. What he wants to get out of this life. What he can make of himself. And I used to have dreams of being a movie star. I mean, I joined Canada's major, most largest actors union. Began to do extra work, and I got hooked up with casting agents and so forth. And at the same time, I was trying to be a rapper. I used to go to my friend's house and we freestyle, and you know, and on the and when I think about it, and I used to analyze the people around me who were into this, and really and truly, you cannot be yourself and succeed in these fields because it's basically a consumer world out there, and you're a product, and they want to sell you. So if you want to sell, you have to do what they say. You can't go out there with your own mind because they know what people want: sex, drugs, gang activity, violence, and this is what sells. This is what's going on in the rap industry, and this is what's glorified. And it just. When I wanted to talk in this speech, what I was really trying to do with it is reminisce on old feelings and reminisce how I used to be back then. What was my mentality? Actually, I went downtown 2 days ago, and I just basically just wandered around the whole day. Why I did that is because downtown, I feel downtown is the root of all that which is in this society. This is the most busiest. It's where all the people go and. And I really wanted to reminisce on old feelings and regenerate those feelings which I used to have. How did I used to feel? What were my dreams and hopes and what was I hoping for in this world? And actually, I came back with a sickness, so I guess that shows me something. Yeah, I mean, it's something. So really and truly, me coming to Islam, it was. Number one, it was of course guidance from my creator, but it was logic, and it was me exploring myself. What did I desire in this life? And that which I desired, every time I get it, did it give me contentment? Did it keep me going? Did it make me feel happy that I got it? Then it didn't, because everything I got was impermanent, and it didn't last, and I had to keep chasing it. And what happens is you find yourself chasing these material things to an extent where you're running after them. You're running, and it doesn't last. And then when I tried to turn to my creator, I didn't understand my creator. I couldn't comprehend the Holy Trinity, like God the Father and Son are one. Actually, nobody. In Catholicism, they say Jesus is God. So what I ask myself is, God is eternal. God has no beginning, no end. Allah says, "Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad." There's nothing like unto Him. Well, yeah, that makes sense. There's nothing like unto Him. Everything is created. Our understanding is only of this world. If you look at the size of the sun compared to the size of the earth, for me right now to walk around the earth is such an extended period of time. I can't, like, it's very, very vast. So when you compare the size of the sun to the size of the earth, you can't comprehend that the size. It's not our understanding is only of this world. And then there are stars called supernovas and other galaxies which are over 100,000 times bigger than the sun. So your mind, small as it be, can't even comprehend these created things. How are you going to understand the creator of that? How can you confine Him to have human characteristics, to use the washroom, to bleed, to be in need of food, to need of clothing? These are not attributes which God should have. This didn't make sense to me. In the beginning of everything, when nothing existed and there was only the creator, What would He be like? And the Muslim belief is that you can't comprehend it. There's no answer to that question. You can't understand your creator. And when I heard that one, this is a big thing which hit me. When I heard this, I said, Islam, wow, that makes a lot of sense. I used to wear a cross around my neck and the rosary, and I used to think like this made me a better person. But meanwhile, I'd be wearing a cross and I'd be doing the same old stuff. And this is a created thing, and how can a created thing be represented by the Creator, which is not of this world, which is not of our comprehension? Alhamdulillah, we're here today. And I hope in inshallah that maybe one person at least will be inspired again. Like last time, alhamdulillah, brought to Shahada. He felt it. He felt we're up here. He knows. Because everything we talk about, they can relate to. Because they were on the other side too. So, I just, Islam to me has really brought me contentment and it has changed my life. And those around me who knew me from a long time, that is very evident to them. And there's no words to describe what Allah has bestowed upon me, my family, and everything is just come into place since I became Muslim. And I feel that this is the absolute truth. And I declare that there's only one God worthy of worship, and Muhammad is His messenger. So, I hope that today, inshallah, I hope today that inshallah you feel, people can feel what we felt before. You can get just a taste of that. A taste of that feeling. And that's it's a very sour, very bad feeling to have that. Brothers and sisters, you've been in Islam your whole life. Do you really know what you have? Do you really know to what extent? Do you really know to what extent? I mean, look at this baby. This baby is on the fitra. He's on the natural state. He's not made sin. He does not know what it is to do wrong. And he is actually very fortunate compared to me. He is being born a Muslim. So, inshallah, he will be better than me. You know what I mean? Look at the baby. Is he not natural? Is he not sinless? So look at us. Look at what Allah has given to us. We were once like this. Allah brought us in this world helpless. But He still, by His mercy, guided us along. He made you Muslim. You were born, you were Muslim. You had the truth. Me, when I wanted to call upon my Creator, I was making shirk. I used to call upon other than my Creator. I didn't know where to go. I was walking left, walking right. Lost. Absolutely lost. So you must ask yourself, and go home tonight before you sleep, and ask yourself, what does it mean to be a Muslim? Am I really appreciative for what I have? Do I really understand this deen? Maybe that brother can explain to me what it's like not to be like that. And I do like the people coming up to me and asking me, what is it like not to be a Muslim? Because you need to know that. And that's a big thing. It's a big thing. No matter what state you people can get in, you can always turn to Allah. No matter to what, you can get, your sins can reach the sky. And you can turn around and say, astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me. And please help me back to the right path. And Allah can help you. But the person who doesn't even know Allah, doesn't even know His Creator, he just increases. The soul gets dry, more dry, dead, to the point of extinction. And I meet people all the time, every day, and it's as if they have no, there's nothing there. SubhanAllah. So inshallah, I hope you people enjoy the program tonight. And I hope that you benefit from it, inshallah. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَأَتُوبَ عَلَيَّ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ أن تتوب الغفور سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته